Welcome to the More Than Fitness Podcast.
I know that you're no stranger to the podcast game now. You've got your own little podcast. So is it Dietitian Table Talks? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, so I actually have two. Dietitian Table Talks is like my educational one, but I'm not very consistent with it. It's more when I have something that I can't do in a caption, I'll like extend on it there. But then we have a fun one that's Below the Influencer with my friend Desby. So that one's explicit. So don't be listening to that one.
No. Trust me. This is the exact audience you want to listen to that because it is 100% fine. And I've had Desby on the podcast earlier, actually.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. She was a guest. I want to say it was quite some time ago. It was probably like maybe in 2019 or
oh wow, that's
or I'm
awesome.
Sorry, not 2019 or 2020. 2020, I've just like erased from my memory. I'm like, it might be last year, it might be 2 years. I don't know.
Blended all together.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of episodes, so good job.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with the podcast, especially with our career where we aren't able to have tons of interactions. And actually I talked about this, I think, on another podcast. We have tons of interactions as coaches and online, but it's typically through like email or text or comments or DMs or whatever, but it's not real shit, right? It's not like face-to-face talking and actually having a deep conversation with no distractions, you know?
Yeah. People get to know you so much better through a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we're going to do with you today. Nice little segue there. Thank you for teeing it up for me. we've got, so say your last name, Emily.
Bogato. A lot of people mess it up. I don't care if you say it wrong. It's actually going to be changing in like 2 months here to Remillard. So you can call me either one. I don't care.
we'll go with Emily. I'm very empathetic to that. Cause my last name is McLeod, but it looks like McLeod, whatever. And I'm just like, whatever you say is fine. I'm cool with it.
Yeah. I would have never guessed McLeod, but obviously I knew it already. But if I was looking at it, I would never say McLeod.
Yeah, no, it's all good. But yeah, I definitely wanted to, So here's the thing. I haven't done a ton of research on you. And so that's kind of on purpose so that we can kind of start more so from the beginning and kind of work our ways forward. And I think it's also cool because I feel like we're both registered dietitians, but we're not like typical dietitians, right?
Yep.
Below the Influencer. I don't think there's too many other dietitians with a podcast like that.
No, they probably look down on me for that.
No, listen, hey, I'm in the same boat. You know what's funny? Real quick before we even go in, I'm like, I'm going to lose my damn credential because I have not done like my continuing education. And also like on my podcast, I made a joke about that the other day. I started mentioning like cocaine or something. I was like, I don't know if I can get like my shit revoked for that or not, but
honestly,
we're gonna,
I don't know, we talk about everything on our podcast, so
well, listen,
it'd be good to look into.
We might find out, so we'll let you guys we'll keep you guys posted.
Yeah, let's test the waters with you first and then I'll go hide all my shit before they get me.
Oh cool, perfect. I'll be the guinea pig. Yeah, excellent.
By the
okay
way, my dog's here, he'll be coming in and out, so just ignore him.
I love it. Oh, he's chilling. Look at it. Perfect. Wow. Yep.
Can't leave my side.
Adorable.
That's
adorable.
Why I can't shut the door.
Oh no, don't worry about it at all. This is very like, I did a podcast with Jared Hamilton, my buddy. We did it outside in my gazebo with like birds chirping and there was like the sounds of Kentucky and stuff, but it's cool. People like the real shit. You guys know that with Below the Influencer. People relate to it.
Right? Yep.
They want
absolutely
that. So cool. Okay, real quick, we're gonna do the quick recap of just like, okay, so where are you located now and like where were you born and raised?
Yeah, so I'm from Northern Michigan, kind of like the middle of nowhere. And then I moved downstate. So I live in Metro Detroit. It's not like scary Detroit.
Sure.
But I actually, for my internship, moved all the way to Idaho. I had never been there before, didn't know anyone, but I just wanted to try something new. So I moved to Idaho for a year. I actually loved it there. It's way different than people would picture it.
I just think of potatoes, you know, that's all I think of.
I just think of like farms and potatoes, but it's actually really pretty there. But
oh, I'm sure it is.
The past 3 years I've lived in Metro Detroit and now we just bought a house. So we are here to stay for a while, which I mean, I plan to stay here probably forever. I love it here. So,
mm-hmm. And how old are you now?
I'm 26.
26. Okay,
so
cool.
So I've been a dietitian for 3 years now.
Right on. Okay, yeah, I'm 27. And so, yeah, mine's a little bit longer than that. Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, and so you're also getting married soon, right?
Yep, I'm getting married August 21st. I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah. Are you, how is, because I love, so a lot of people listening to this are typically, I feel like my age range is typically probably like 21 to like 45 or so. And shout out to anybody else in the other age ranges there. But I love talking about transitory stages like this, especially the confusing nonsense and shenanigans of your 20s, right? Of figuring out who you're going to be with, where you're going to live, mm-hmm. what are you going to do for work, having societal pressures, all these different things. But for the marriage, like how, or for the wedding itself, is it as chaotic as everybody talks about it?
Honestly, I don't feel like mine has been as chaotic. I know some people are like, I'm in some wedding groups on Facebook and they're like, I've been crying every day. I'm ready to call it all off. And I'm like, okay, you guys need to like chill a little bit. I'm definitely like, that's my personality though. I'm very like, I'm a bride chilla, not a bridezilla. So for me, it hasn't been that bad. I'm actually just more excited than anything because I know it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be like a party wedding.
Yes.
So I haven't been that stressed about it, but also I work from home. I can kind of, you know, plan things here and there throughout my day. Maybe it's a lot harder for someone who, you know, works two jobs and is gone all day kind of thing. So I think I'm probably pretty privileged in that sense.
Sure. No, of course. I 100% understand. There's plenty of pros and cons with the remote work for sure. And I can see how managing your schedule can be helpful. Okay. So with, so backtracking a little bit. So in Michigan, did your internship. So the dietetic internship, for people who don't know, to become a registered dietitian, you have a dietetic internship. It's a blast, fun time. All right. It's really awesome.
Yeah. Loved the food service part. Yeah, so yeah, cool. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I did my food service in a cafeteria over the summer though. And so I just like prepped like a bunch of, I was chopping vegetables like every single day. And
yeah.
Putting them in bags.
Super important for what we're doing now.
You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. Okay. So did you, clearly you went to school for dietetics. Whenever you were in college, were you like, I'm going to be an online trainer, or kind of give me the backstory there?
No. So I was really into fitness. That's actually why I like wanted to become a dietitian, just because I know like nutrition's a huge part of it. I was weightlifting. I actually competed a couple times in college.
Okay.
And I maybe thought like, I mean, back then there weren't really many online trainers. I had one for my competition and it was like a weird thing, 'cause most people would hire like their gym bro that like competes or something. And so I like kind of knew what that was, but I never really thought that I was going to be that.
Sorry to cut you off. I'm going to do that sometimes because I like to,
no,
I like
I do
to
it
figure
too.
It out. What competition? What kind of competition was this?
I did bikini competitions. I only did two of them, but
okay, right.
Yeah.
Are you going to do them again? That's what I want to know.
Oh hell no.
Yes. Yes.
I did love it, but I was in like a totally different stage of my life where all I cared about was fitness. I did not care about hanging out with friends. Didn't care about dating, didn't care about drinking. Not that I cared that much about that, but I didn't care about anything other than going to the gym and like being perfect with that. So
right.
Totally different phase of life, not for me anymore.
Wait, okay, so this is perfect because this is how mine was too. Like I became a natural professional drug tested bodybuilder.
Really?
Yeah, so like I have my pro card.
Wow.
As far as its eligibility, I'm not sure. But so I competed in natural bodybuilding my first semester of college and my last semester of college. And in my last semester, I won the overall, I went pro. But as I won, like that was kind of my goal, right? And I was in a similar boat to you. It's you know, working out 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. Can't do that anymore, nor want to. But I won, and then I got the trophy and I was on stage and I was like, that wasn't really worth it. You know?
You're like, that's it?
Yeah.
I did it.
Just like, all right, cool. So now like, what do we kind of do next? So yeah, what was your moment, like when did you decide, okay, this is not for me anymore?
Yeah, so actually after I competed, I thought for sure I was going to do it again, even for like maybe a year after like my competitions were over. I still had it in my mind that I was going to do it again. But then that's kind of when like my mindset started changing. And I was like, you know what? I feel a lot better now that I'm eating enough. Like I still work out. I never stopped working out. Like I still worked out just as much, obviously less cardio, but I never stopped working out during this entire time. And I just started to realize that like I was regretting the times where like I would say no to vacations or trips with my friends. I would say no to like eating my grandparents' food on holidays and that kind of stuff. And I was like, I don't really want to say no to all that stuff anymore. So for me, it was just more of like a realization that I had more important things in my life that I cared about a lot more.
Did you have that like epiphany moment while you were still in college, or was this after college?
So that would have been during my internship.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so did you struggle? So what I found with me is because I still had the same expectations of my older bodybuilder obsessive person. And so whenever I did, even though I was still working out, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a week, and I wasn't counting my calories and stuff, I was still watching what I eat relatively. But as far as not making as good as progress, or I started to see my body kind of quote unquote like regress from this, you know, freak bodybuilder type guy, did you have any like, you know, negative feelings towards yourself or fear or anything like that?
I definitely did feel that pressure, especially obviously like becoming a dietitian even. I was like, well, I need to like look good or no one's going to want me to be their dietitian. But coincidentally at the same time, I was in Idaho and no one there like knew me as the bodybuilder person. So it kind of like, I didn't have the pressure of them being like, wow, you look a lot different. Like
You're the fitness girl, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I definitely stayed, you know, pretty fit no matter what. I mean, I've kind of gone through like little phases here and there, but I've always still had like the habit of going to the gym 5 days a week and eating well and stuff like that. So it wasn't like I had like traumatic changes. If anything, I feel like I look better, like not shredded.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Sure. Yeah, no. Okay, good. Well, and so I'm curious now then if it's like, now is your motivate, because my motivation for working out has switched. It's of course like, I know that working out and eating right is still going to be beneficial from like an aesthetic point and a physique point. Like I would be remiss to say that that's not important to me, but also I think more importantly is more so just like my routine and making me feel good on a regular basis. Right.
Yep. I would say the same for me too. Cause once it's just part of what you do, it just feels like it feels wrong to not do it. Not in like a bad mental place type of thing. Sorry, my dog.
Don't worry.
But it just makes you feel good. And when you like take extended time off, like I start to feel it. Same thing with eating. Like you go on a vacation, you eat differently than you normally do. When you come back, you're ready to get back to normal.
Mm-hmm. And another big thing with me was just like after college, especially like priorities change, right? Like, you know, you start to worry about, or you start to focus more on your career, on relationships, maybe side hobbies or traveling or finding a new place to live or something, right? You don't have the luxury of people in college say, I don't have any time. It's like, dude, you have so much fucking time. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So you just, the priorities change. So you want to spend time on other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely changed over time, but I wouldn't change anything. Like I'm glad I competed and it was fun at the time. Mm-hmm. And it did, you know, it really pushes you to like your final straw.
Yeah.
But I can't see myself doing that again. And whenever I still see people doing it that competed back when I did, I'm like, how are they still doing that?
I literally feel like I was my most machine-like. And I look back, I was like, I was the most productive in my weeks during my competitions because I couldn't miss my meals or my workouts. So then that also rippled into everything else. It made me high gear on time management in general.
Oh, yeah. I had a journal where I literally wrote out like every hour of the day what I would be doing.
Yeah. And it's like, that's valuable skills I wish I would do now. You know, it's just like, I need to keep
need to pick
doing
that
it.
Up again.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I feel. Well, right on. So, okay, so you didn't think that you were going to be an online coach, and then how did you start off like as an in-person trainer, then went online, or what's kind of the story there?
So actually, it's kind of a long story, but I didn't think that I could be a fitness coach online. Sorry, let me just go like shut him up for a second and I'll be right
okay.
back.
Okay, sure. No, that's totally fine. Do your thing. That's great. I'm almost questioning if I should just talk through this dead air right now. David, for those of you listening, David's my audio guy. We're gonna figure out if we're gonna cut this out, if we're just gonna keep this in. We're hanging out. What is today? I'm excited because after this podcast, I'm going to go to the boat. Oh, here she comes.
Okay.
I'm going to go on a boat trip.
I let him outside and he's so smart. He'll probably let himself back in. So we'll
okay.
see.
Perfect. I was filling in the dead air there. I was talking to my audio guy who's going to be listening to this. I said, David, we're going to figure out if we're going to keep this in or not. And so I just started talking about how I'm going to the boat after this. And so we're going to figure something out.
I know we talked to our like audio guy too. We're like, hey, Kyle, what's up?
That's right.
But anyways, how I got into fitness coaching. So I never thought that I could do that just because as time went on, like during the time when I was at the end of my schooling and in my internship, that's when like fitness coaching became this like big thing. And it wasn't dietitians doing it. So I was like, I went to school, I paid all this money. Why would I go do a job that, you know, everyone's doing? Like anyone can do it. Why would I do that? I should be doing the jobs that like they can't do. Like they can't go work in a hospital, or they can't really like go be a dietitian for a sports team or something like that. So that's the only reason why I thought that I couldn't do it. And that I do regret. I wish that I would have started doing that right away because. So my first job as a dietitian, it was more of like a clinical outpatient type of job. I worked only with patients who had multiple chronic conditions, but the company that I worked for was just absolutely terrible. Like malpractice, so sketchy, yeah, like scammy. And so I was with them for a while because that felt like, you know, the only job I could get when I moved down here. I moved down here without having a job and I was dirt broke, moved in with my now fiance's family. So I'm crammed in their little house, got no money, have a shitty job. And a few months into that, I'm like really dreading it. I start applying to other jobs. I can't get anything. And I get a call, or I get a text from Dez, and me and her, like, we weren't friends or anything, but we had talked before just because she's from Michigan too. And we both competed at around the same time. So we like followed each other and like would talk here and there, and we had each other's numbers, but we weren't like friends or anything. And she texted me and she was like, hey, can I call you after work? And I was like, sure. And like, I thought she was just going to be like, hey, I'm having a meetup in Michigan, you should come or something like that. And she called me and she asked if I wanted to work as an online coach for DBFT, which is her business. And I was like, hell yeah.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
So I started doing that. And at the very same time, Title Boxing Gym, the owner asked if I wanted to be a dietitian there too. I said, hell yeah, why not?
Wow, you went from no job to two jobs.
Three jobs. I did
three
all three.
Jobs. Oh, shit. Yep. Oh, you did the other one too. Right, right.
Yep, I did all three at first. And so I would go to my normal 9-to-5 job. I would come home. I would either be doing online clients or I would do those on the weekend. And then some days I would be driving to Title Boxing to have clients there too. So for a while, I really did have to grind.
Wow. I love
it. And once I realized that I could be making just as much money, if not more, by doing more like online clients, I quit my job. And it was perfect timing because there was just some bad stuff going on there that I did not want to be a part of. So I am like forever so grateful for Dez, and now we're like best friends. So that's cool too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, I feel like as far as somebody to get involved with, Dez is clearly, you know, established in the industry and is doing her thing. So it's great to kind of just like hop on board as a friend. And it's not like you were, you know, bugging the shit out of her or something like that. And she was just kind of hit you up and was like, hey, you want to join? You're like, absolutely.
Yeah, I was shook when she asked me. I had no idea that was coming. But yeah, she has, I mean, before I was even there, she had a really good community already. And it's only grown since then. So it's been really helpful for me. I am not like super
entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
We know what you're saying. It's all good. It's all good.
I'm not like super like that. So for me, like I know most people wouldn't want to like be working under someone else's business, but I've never really been that type of person. So for me, like I'm not trying to be a millionaire. I'm trying to, you know, make more money than I did before and love my job and have a good life. So
go to the dietitian median and you'll probably feel better about yourself, you know. It's like the median salary, yeah, the annual salary. You're just like, yeah, it's definitely very doable as far as online coaching and stuff, and especially with jumping in with Des B for sure.
It's kind of funny too, because like I don't know if you're on Twitter or not, but
yeah,
like I see you know, dietitians are always tweeting like dietitians deserve to be paid more, but then as soon as they see a dietitian doing something that is making more money, they're like, not in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like there's only so many avenues you can take, at least that allow exponential growth. And I feel like the main one, of course, is going to be, you know, being an entrepreneur, or at least, like you said, working within the system of somebody like an entrepreneur kind of type deal.
Yeah. Like the more I work, the more I will make. So it's not like I'm capped at like an hourly or salary amount.
And it's like, it's great that you have the self-awareness of being, you know, I'm okay with being a number two or a number three or something like that, because number one does what they do. And then number two is me, right? But it's just like somebody who tries to fit that entrepreneurial role and like isn't that type of person can have this, I don't know, maybe this negative emotions around it because they're not fit for that and they feel like they should be, or they aren't cut out for it or whatever. But actually it's just like, it's completely okay to be a number two, right? There's a reason why there's a CEO and a COO and a CFO and right?
Yep. And honestly, a huge part of it for me too, is that like, I don't want to be like social media famous. Like I don't want, you know, 300,000 followers. That would cause me to like panic, having that many people like comment on everything I do. I don't like that. So having like Dez be the one up there, I'm like, I'll sit back here. I'll do my work back here.
Yeah.
You reel them in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. That's it's so true. I bet Dez has some interesting stories from her DMs and everything like that.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Not good.
Oh yeah, some Reddit threads, like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
People commenting on everything you post. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Interesting. Okay. So with the coaching biz going, well, how about this? Well, this is kind of personal, but I like asking this. But I don't know the situation. But like with parents and stuff, because my parents, like it's different. Whenever I first did the online coaching thing, you know, there was a little bit of a hesitation, like, okay, well, what are you really doing here? Like, what is this? Is this going to be sustainable? You don't have health insurance, dude. What are you doing? Et cetera, et cetera. So like, was there any type of pushback there?
Oh yeah, there definitely was. Especially with me being like under someone else, they didn't know who Dez was. So they're kind of like, like, we'll see if you like get your money or like see how this turns out, but don't be expecting too much. But now that I'm like 3 years into it, now they're like, wow, you're doing so amazing, sweetie.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. And your fiance has been on board with it as well.
Oh yeah. He thinks it's awesome. He thinks that I'm killing it. So he definitely doesn't care about that at all. And like, he takes like all my pictures, and
yes,
I definitely like fight with him about it. I'll be like, why you need to take a photography class or something?
Get
like,
my feet in it, Wyatt. Get my feet in it. Come on.
Yes, I understand. He'll like he'll put like so much space on the bottom of the picture, but then like cut the top of my head off. I'm like, are you like, do you see this? Like,
get me in frame, bro. Get me in frame.
Like, what's wrong with you?
That's so funny. I 100% understand that is how it is. That's great. Okay. So what about like future plans? So obviously you've got the wedding up coming up, and then you said you've already bought a house, and is it in Michigan as well?
Yeah, it's 1 mile from where I live now. This is a rental home that we're in. So that'll be our first home.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. That's very exciting. Yeah. And so as far as the business goes, the business side of things, are you, as far as aspirations go, are you just going to keep continuing with Desby and kind of seeing how that goes? Or is there anything that's exciting you about the future?
Yeah, as long as she keeps her business going, I will stay with her. I'm technically like the COO of it. So I oversee the other coaches. We have 5 other coaches on the team. And I'm like the point of contact for them. I'm the one who trains them. They reach out to me with anything they need help with. I find them, I hire them, that kind of stuff. So I have like a little bit more responsibility within the business, and I really enjoy what I do. So I will stay with Des as long as she has a coaching business. It works out great for me. And if she ever did like decide to cut it off, which would just be dumb of her, honestly.
Of course. Yeah.
She doesn't plan to do that ever.
Sure.
But obviously when we get old, like, you know, things change.
She's going to give you a heads up though.
Oh yeah. Like she definitely will. And if she were to do that, I would either start my own business, or not to be cocky, but I know that there's other people who would love to have me working for them as well, just like Des does too. So I would probably stay in that route as well.
Yeah. What is your favorite part of the coaching side of things? Or is it like, or the business side of things? Is it like, cause some people are, you know, some people love the content creation side of things. Some people like the leadership side of things. Some people like the actual coaching nitty gritty program design. So what do you say about that?
So I definitely don't love the content creation. You can probably tell by my page. It's like half selfies and then half reels, which I do enjoy making the reels. I will say that.
Yeah, sure.
But for me, it's definitely just like really fulfilling for me to be able to help people. Like for me, I can't imagine having a job where I didn't like physically like come in like contact with the client and help them. So for me, like the being like the CEO and like having to do all the other tasks is not as like fulfilling for me. I need to do what I signed up for, which is working with the clients. So the like helping people and helping them like skip over all the mistakes that I made, because I'm not going to get into my journey, but I started off overweight and I've been through every possible phase that someone could have been through pretty much. So for me, I really love helping people skip over like all the mistakes that I made, because if I had someone helping me with that, I would have made progress a lot faster and skipped over a lot of like detrimental things too.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. No, that makes complete sense. I'm wondering what about maybe in the, what's something maybe in the industry or as far as a piece of content or not even a piece of content, but an idea or something that maybe you and Des have talked about, or maybe it's something that you think about on a regular basis. I'm putting you on the spot here, of just something that you want to push out there more to the fitness industry that you think is somewhat missing from the fitness industry. And you feel like maybe you in particular, or you and Des kind of fill that void within the industry.
Yeah. So I don't think that there's anything that like no one else is doing that I do. But for me, I do put a lot of focus on not so much focusing on like fat loss or whatever, but making people feel better. Because, you know, sometimes people just need to be more consistent with the routine. They need that accountability. They need to stop, you know, under eating 5 days a week and way overeating 2 days a week. And they'll already like a couple weeks in, they're like, oh my God, I feel amazing. Like I have so much more energy. Like I can have different food choices at lunch. I don't have to have a salad. So for me, it's a lot based on how you feel and setting like other goals outside of like a number on the scale too, because I find when people just focus on the scale, a lot of times they're just going to end up getting discouraged. And if you get discouraged, like, oh, my weight hasn't gone down in a couple of weeks, like I give up, I'm working so hard, you're really going to miss out on a lot of potential that could have been there if you were focusing on something else.
Yeah, of course. And I think also what people tend to mess up is that the fat loss and stuff, everything that you just said is can be the focus, and then the fat loss can be like the byproduct of focusing on. So it's kind of the way, it's the angle that you look at it, right?
Exactly. And I do have a lot of clients as well that are not even focusing on fat loss because they've been dieting for years and years in not good ways. So I really love helping them as well, because like literally a few weeks in, they're already like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, I feel so much better.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
To me, that's really, really fulfilling to help people with too.
Right. Of course. I hear your dog in the background.
Do you want, do you want to go,
do you want to grab him real quick? I really don't care. I'm telling you, it's not a big deal. It's cool. This is amazing. This is the best podcast ever. I'm just going to go ahead and say this is the first time we've had dead air like this, but it's not the, it definitely won't be the last. And I think she's got him. He's inside now. He's happy. He's stopping barking. Here she comes. She's good to go. And she's back.
What kind of dog can't let themselves in?
Listen, they're little children. They're needy. It's all good. People
he's
on the podcast
come right in here too. I bet.
People on the podcast understand. Well, cool. Let's dive. I want to dive into that. Actually, what you just said. Like, what are maybe some things that. What's the initial things maybe from somebody who has been dieting for a long time that you initially start them? Like, is it certain habits on a daily basis, right? Like process goals, things like that?
For someone who's been like yo-yo dieting or something like that, a lot of times I just need to get them into like a consistent routine with their nutrition and stuff, maybe bring their cardio down. But a lot of times when people are dieting like that, it's like I said, where they're under eating so many days in a row that all of a sudden on like the fifth day, they're starving and they go way overboard. So a lot of it is just like working on that all or nothing mentality. And for some people, it takes, you know, a long time to kind of work their way out of that. So I feel like consistency is a big part of it, and kind of just getting over like the mental barriers. You know, I always say this to my clients, if say they went, like they ate something that they didn't want to, and then because of that, they're like, well, I already messed up. I'm going to go get a pizza and ice cream and blah, blah, blah. And so what I always say to them is, if you were driving and you popped one of your tires, would you go pop the rest of them?
Right.
And they're like, you're right. Like,
yes.
I just set myself back even further by doing that. So it's more so recognizing like when you're getting into that like mode where you're going to like go off the rails and cutting it off as soon as possible.
Right. I've used that analogy before as well, and it works so great.
I love that one.
It's the fucking best. It's so true. But I'm wondering with your clients, do they notice, because some people, you say that you give them all these instructions or say these certain things that are going to happen, but like whenever I say they don't believe you, I'm not saying that they won't actually do it, but they don't believe it until they actually get back on track and realize, oh, you know, maybe the scale didn't spike up super high, or it's not a big, like whenever they realize it's not a big deal, that's the real like aha moment.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that happens so often, but they have to, it's one of those things where they have to actually experience it to believe you.
Yeah. And I mean, I definitely was that person before too, where if I went off my plan, like I'm going way off the plan.
Yes. Yeah, for
so
sure.
I know exactly what it's like. I used to be stuck in that too. And thankfully I was able to get myself out of that. Just by being less restrictive sometimes is what people need.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just like a change of focus on different things, right? If it's not something that's so specific, whether, you know, calories or macros or something like that, you can take a step back, and then it's figuring out, okay, what are maybe some things that we can add in, some walking or some journaling or whatever it is, just positive things that you can add to your routine that then will, you know, the results of adding more vegetables to your diet is probably going to be less shitty food in general. You know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Like, adding things in usually is the way to go about it.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. Good. No, I think that is such an important thing. And I know with females in particular, for some reason, I don't know. It's probably the backgrounds. Like you mentioned, you come from certain backgrounds, and especially if you yo-yo diet or you're in this chronic dieter phase, you can feel like a failure whenever you even just eat off track for one meal, and it's like there's a lot of pressure, not just on girls, but just dieters in particular to maintain that streak or maintain that perfection. And then whenever they mess up, it's just like, okay, now I need to wait until Monday to start shit.
Yep.
Again, you know?
Yep. And then it's, you know, really restrictive. And then it just is like a constant cycle of like restriction and crazy.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. Within
Do
your
you
own
work with women?
Yes, for sure. Yeah. Okay. No, my women. All my females here. The females typically tend to, and you know, love to all my dudes, but women typically are better clients, to be honest. They tend to follow instructions better. They tend to ask more questions and like are genuine, like curious about certain things. So they learn more about the process. They receive feedback. And I don't know if this is specific, because I notice this sometimes in in-person training whenever I worked at the strength and conditioning gym. Some women do like to work with men. Like it's just that the some type of dynamic. Yep. They take instructions better.
My right. coach is a man. Yep.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. But no, like I said, my women clients are typically better than the men. I would say my split's about, I'm happy with my split. I'd say it's about 60-40 men to women, 65-35 okay. men to women. And of course, like I am a dude, I am a guy. So it's just like, I feel like naturally I'll attract more men than women, but.
Yeah. Mine's like 99% women.
That makes sense.
Occasional man comes in, but
that makes
mostly
sense.
Women.
That makes sense. Well, how about the podcasting? So I want to know, like, have you been enjoying that with Dez? You guys have a fun time? Like because you mostly just, I know you maybe have like some topics maybe beforehand, just a general idea, but for the most part, you just like shoot the shit, right?
That's literally what I was going to say. We shoot the shit. It's literally like calling up your best friend, talking about whatever's going on. Sometimes we'll have a topic, or we get our listeners involved a lot. So we have a lot of forums where like they can enter a crazy story or ask us for advice or something like that. And then we have like all these like little fun, like game segment type of things that we do. So they're really involved in it. And it makes it a lot of fun, and it makes them feel like I can't tell you how many messages I've got from people saying like they feel like they're sitting in the room hanging out with their friends, or we've helped them get through. Like one of my clients, she's like, I would not have made it through my wedding planning if it wasn't for listening to you guys. Cause every week I could just like listen to you on my way home from work and laugh.
Oh.
So it's definitely just like for fun and funny, and just for people to get to know us better. It's not like, it's definitely not professional.
or like hardcore educational.
Or hardcore educational. We might give you some tips, but it might not be about what you're expecting it to be.
Yeah,
about.
Yeah. But it's you know what's interesting is that, like you said, being a fly on the wall or something like that, it's a lot of people see it, or at least so I'm actually a big podcast listener myself, like two other podcasts.
I am too.
Okay, right. And it's just like you feel like you're friends with them, you know?
Yeah.
The really good ones, you're like, oh yeah, he's my dude. I know everything about him, and he has no idea who I am, but I know a lot about him, you know?
Yeah.
And people love that shit.
Yeah. You really can like dive deep, and like things just come out, and like, I don't know about you, but we're not going to go edit everything out.
No.
So like you get the real person. You can't script an hour long podcast. So
yeah. No, I just, and I think it's also cool that it gives you, scheduled times to have these chats with Dez. And if it is, you know, kind of just somewhat venting and stuff, it's just like having, I'm assuming, you know, you and Des are probably good friends too. So it's just, it's good to have that scheduled time to vent with your best friend and also have, you know, hundreds or thousands of people listening as well.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but like, so my Dietitian Table Talks podcast often is just me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to have like, you can have an educational podcast that's just you. It's really, really hard to have a fun podcast that's just you, like by yourself, unless you're having guests on. So it's nice to be able to like have a conversation and then like other things come up and then it reminds you of something that happened to you before and it just keeps going.
Yeah, that's exactly. So with mine is a mix of both. So I typically do 1 to 2 minisodes per week. And that's typically like a 7 to 20 minute specific topic on, you know, something related to nutrition or fitness. And then the talks like this with a guest is just whatever. So I give people kind of the best of both worlds. It's like, hey, if you want hardcore, just training and nutrition tips, education. And of course I try and make it through my own lens and make it, you know, whatever, funny or personable, a little bit less boring than most. And then, then I'd like to use these just to bullshit and talk about whatever. Right.
Yeah. And everyone listening needs to give him a 5-star and a review right now, because that is a lot of work. That's a lot of work doing all those episodes. So I don't think you guys realize. So
thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Give him a 5-star.
But also are you a big talker just in general, like extroverted or anything like that? Whenever you're out somewhere or whatever, are you middle of the conversation?
Oh, 100%. And okay. I work from home by myself. So that makes me even more like, I was at the post office earlier and there was an old man there. The lady wouldn't help him like fill out his thing to send something to his daughter in a different country. So I was like, hey, sir, like, do you need help? And I like filled it all out for him.
Oh my gosh. That's the best.
I'll talk to anyone.
That's the best. Oh, it reminds me, yesterday I saw, I don't even know if this has anything to do with extroversion, but I was like so pumped to see it. I live on there's this little street. It's like a cul-de-sac. There's not many cars that go through it. And I went down the street and there's these little girls that had a lemonade stand and they were like 7 years old. And I actually passed by because they were in the street and then they ran over towards the little stand, but I didn't know what they were doing. There's always kids like playing in the street doing whatever. And so I didn't notice it until I went past and then I drove past and I saw their like hearts breaking as I drove by because I was like, oh shit, they're doing a lemonade stand. So then I passed by and then I did a U-turn and I came back and then I gave her like $20 for a glass for a little glass of, I was like, how much is it? She said 25 cents. And I pulled out the 20. I said, will this cover it? She goes, Yeah, that'll cover.
I was gonna say they probably would rather have like 100 pennies than $20.
I know.
Kids sometimes they just like want more.
I know.
They realize
yes.
what it's
yes.
worth.
Just a larger quantity of mass.
Like that's that what they looks better.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like that little extroversion part. Like I'm 100% the exact same way. Like I want to talk to everybody, and it's probably why the podcast was a good thing for me. But I find myself in these interviews and stuff, I'm like, fuck, I got to stop talking and ask more questions or else I just keep rambling on.
No, I'm the same way too. And like, I'll ask them a question and then I'll have to like give my answer too. I'm like, Emily, this is not about you.
Yeah.
But people don't know that I'm extroverted based off my Instagram, because I'm definitely not someone that is like recording a bunch of talking videos. I'm not like getting on my story every day.
What's up, guys? It's me. It's Emily. Yeah.
Like that's not really me. So I feel like people always thought I was shy until they started listening to our podcast and they're like, oh, she's definitely not shy.
Yeah. No, but it's so fun. I feel like with podcasts, there's the world that we're in now is so quick and it's so TikTok and Instagram reels and even just regular Instagram. It's still, you know, you're on there for maybe 2 minutes on a post tops or something, right? Even if you read the caption. But then you have something like podcasts, it's like the yin and the yang. And I feel like with podcasts, especially if you fuck with somebody, it's like, give me more. And so it's just like the podcast world is just like, yeah, if you love me, I can give you hours of content through this and it's okay. But you know, like if you talk for an hour on IGTV or even on YouTube or something,
people are like tapping through your story. Yeah,
they're like, all right, let's skip this guy. All right, come on. But a podcast is like, that's, you know, you're getting into.
And also the cool thing about podcasts is you can listen to it while you're doing something. So yes. When I do my laundry, I'm listening to a podcast. When I'm driving, I'm listening to a podcast. So it's not like you're just sitting there wasting time scrolling on your phone.
Okay. So this is good. I'm glad you brought this up, because my problem now is that I don't have silence. I literally, whenever I'm doing random boring ass tasks like that, I'm like, why don't I, even if I'm not even talking like I need an educational podcast, I was like, I just need noise. I just want to, it's just like this experience, you know, it's a 6 right now, but I could take it to an 8 with a comedy podcast or something. It could be really fun.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that too, because like sometimes I'll see like articles about like constantly being like needed to be like stimulated, and I'm like, shit, that's definitely me. Like I'm never just like sitting there in silence. I'm like always have like something on, or I'm talking, like doing my client like voice recordings, and then I like go turn on a podcast while I'm like doing my other work.
Yes.
Yeah. So I feel like it could be a problem. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I go back and forth with myself, and I guess I try and like counterbalance it. It's funny. I say I try and counterbalance it with 10 minutes of meditation for the 4 hours of podcast I listen to a day. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, not really doing much there, bud.
Yeah. I'm glad it doesn't count towards my screen time. At least I don't think it does.
Mine definitely does.
It does.
Well, I pull it up on YouTube. So I just play the video. And so that's why
I don't do them on YouTube.
My screen time's so fucked up. It's so skewed, because I'll have like 3 hours of YouTube that I listen to today. And it's just like, they don't put that under like productivity or anything. You know, even if it's on quantum physics or whatever, right? Like they're not going to count it towards that. And you're just like, God, I'm a piece of shit. It just feels, just feels bad.
Like how did I physically like possibly watch that much on my phone? Like that many hours.
Yeah. Like this thing's lying. It's definitely lying for sure. But the boredom side of things, I think it's just, you need more boredom in your life. And I don't know. I think that's why I am glad it's also summer though, because it's just nicer. And so literally right after this, and I think I saw you post, you went out on a boat on a lake the other day too.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to go out on a boat with two of my buddies, and we're going to chill. We're going to watch the sunset. We might smoke a joint. I don't know. Things happen, but we're just going to be chilling and we're going to have a great time. But there's not going to be any service for the most part. Like we're not going to be on our phones. We're just going to be listening to the water, listening to music, hanging out.
And those days are the best when you're having like so much fun that you're not even on your phone.
Yes. And it just, because it feels better afterwards. You do this and you're like, I should do this more often, but then we still don't do it.
Yep.
What do we
do? Everyone listening, only listen to his podcast and then get off your phone.
Hey, well, finish this podcast and then turn off your phone. Go do other stuff. Actually, finish this, go to her podcast, subscribe, rate, review, and then you can turn it off for the night. Right. That's it. That sounds about right. But the what I was saying is, with the summertime, there's just more opportunities to go outside and get away from. There's just more events and things that are typically outside and not conducive to also being on your phone.
Well, and I'm in Michigan, so like really, right. There's not as much to do in the winter. Except I did take up snowboarding this winter, and that was awesome.
Okay. So, okay. Well, we've still got a little bit of time. I want to know, thinking long term, because I'm single actually. And I am, trying to figure out, okay, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? And like, where do I want to stick? Cause I was living in New York City for about a year. I lived in New York.
Are you in Florida?
No, I'm in Kentucky.
What? Are you all over the place or what?
No. Well, I mean, I go.
I thought you were in Florida.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. No, I'm in Kentucky right now. But I was living in New York City, and so
okay.
But, maybe you saw. Sometimes I maybe post pictures. Like, so I go to Destin, Florida, sometimes for vacation.
That's what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So for vacation and things like that, we'll go to Destin. My parents just got a beach house there, so I'll be there as well.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, which is amazing. I'm pumped about that.
Yeah.
So what I was saying is, what was the tangent I was about to go on?
Where you're going to live.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I was in New York, and then now I'm back here in Kentucky. And so all of my friends and family and everybody, you know, all of my close people are here in Kentucky. Right. And Lexington, Kentucky is about 300,000 people, 330-ish. It's the second biggest city in Kentucky, I'm pretty sure. It's where I went to school, University of Kentucky, right? So I'm very familiar. The place is nice. That I have my friends and people here. But living in New York for a year or so, it really made me more open-minded to a bigger city and different things like that, to at least explore for a certain period of time. And so it's just like, what factors for you? I want to, again, not make this about me. I'm doing it again. I want to make it about you. And it's just like, what are maybe some qualities that you thought about into your decision-making for settling down somewhere?
Yeah. So like I said, I'm from the middle of nowhere. And to be honest, like pretty much my whole life, I knew that I didn't want to live there after I graduated from high school. So I still have like all my best friends there. My parents are there. That's about 7 hours from where I live now.
Okay.
So I can still drive there. Like to me, that some people would say like that's too far, but for me, like I've drove it so many times.
Yeah, that's solid.
Yeah. So I always knew that I was more of like a place with population type of person.
Yeah.
With like different restaurants and shopping and gyms.
More than one stop sign, right?
Yeah. That was always like more my style. And so I probably would have ended up somewhere around here anyways, but my fiance is actually from around here. So it's kind of perfect because like I still have his family here. And I actually have friends here too from when I went to college. A lot of them either moved here after as well, because I mean, it's Metro Detroit. Most people in Michigan live in Metro Detroit. It's just super populated. So I know a lot of people here. We have his family here. There's everything that I could want here. I can, in the summer, it's incredible. There's lakes everywhere. In the winter, if you have a winter hobby, it's perfect, which I did not have one until this year. So I used to hate winter, but now I'm like, oh yeah, like when winter comes, like I can go snowboarding. So I feel like you just got to make the most of wherever you are.
Yeah. Well, I think what you mentioned is kind of the criteria or the rubric that you would look for. So you have like family, at least within driving distance, so somewhat close. And then you also have...
And with my job, I can easily like stay there for a week even.
Yes, exactly. That's my thinking as well. But like then, so you have your family close by, or at least somewhat close by, and then you also have a group of friends. I think that's huge as well, because making new friends, especially if you're not going to live in like a really big city or something, it can be super tough to be older and try. And besides like your work, but even like remote and online, it makes it even more difficult, I guess, potentially. Yeah. In certain ways. You have social media, I guess, but
social media is how I made a lot of my friends.
That can definitely help. So then you have family, friends, and then of course your career, you're set there.
Yeah, that's another thing actually I didn't mention. Where I'm from, no one gives a fuck about their nutrition. So trying to like branch out there would have been like impossible.
Yeah.
Here, I'm surrounded by people who love fitness and stuff like that. So it definitely helps.
Yeah. Hey, you're preaching. I'm in Kentucky, dude. It's like it's pretty heavy here, you know. it's just a little bit heavy with the people, you know. But you know, they're good people. But also you get southern cooking, and then you get a lot of, or you get no movement basically. And then there's also like drugs involved with like smaller cities, you know. It's just the thing. It's just you don't have a lot of options, so people resort to making their own fun or their own escapism. And
that's how it is where I'm from. I got two MIPs in high school. Which I don't know if you know what MIP is. We call it MIP, but it just means when you get caught drinking underage.
Right. Okay. Yes, that makes sense.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Like, that was our fun.
And especially, I feel like even especially more up north in colder areas, you're inside all the time. So it's just like, whoa, let's just get fucked up and drink.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting. What about the... and this might be too personal, but I was gonna say, how's like the cost of living and stuff there? Because obviously that's a factor as well.
There's nothing too personal, but honestly, so where I'm from, like it's so cheap there. But here, I would say it's a little bit on the higher end. It's not like New York or anything.
I was gonna say that's where I came from, so like everything is fine, you know, living wise.
Our house we just bought, it's only a 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, and it was $265.
Okay.
This house is the same 3-bedroom, 1-bathroom, and it's $1,800 a month to rent.
Right.
So I don't know what that, it just depends on where you guys are at.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, you're right. It does. It definitely depends, but I feel like that's moderate. You know, that's definitely
it's not terrible.
Know. Right. Well, I'm just, $280,000 in New York is going to get you a fucking 1-bedroom, you know? It's so insane. And I'm so like, where I have moved back home, it's just like the money I've saved right now, because I'm literally in my parents' house. So shout out, 27 in the parents' house, but
that's all right.
Breakups, they're fun. That's what happened. I just recently became single, and so that's why I had to move from New York, because we were living together.
I was like, I didn't think you were single, but like, we probably don't want to talk about it.
it's all good. We're still friends. And we were living together in New York, and so I moved back home here in my parents' house, but now I have, you know, no rent. They're paying for groceries.
Oh yeah.
Like, I don't have
New York
apartment. So I'm just like, I spent my whole rent basically on clothes and fashion for the summer. You know, I needed some shit, and I needed to do a little retail therapy. So I was just like, I'm going to buy
everything. Especially now that you're single, you got to be looking fly.
This is my thinking. I was just like, I'm just going to start buying everything. Why not? So I just put my entire New York rent check into that. And I'm just like, this is great. This is perfect.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, I know we could probably chat for a little bit longer, but I have a boat to catch here soon.
Don't blame you.
Right. But this has been good. I feel like we've touched on quite a few things, and it's been fun. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can come on my dietitian table talk sometime since you're a dietitian. Hey,
let's go. I'm in the club, so we can figure it out. Yeah. All right, cool. No, that sounds great. Real quick, where if people want to find out more about you and working with you and also your podcast, where can they find you?
Yes. So I would recommend first following me on Instagram, because you can find everything from there. So at dietitian.em.b, spell dietitian right.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
And then my podcasts are Dietitian Table Talks, and then Below the Influencer and Twitter. Like, I don't talk anything about nutrition on there, which is surprising, because like, that's where a lot of like nutrition people go to talk about stuff.
Listen, continue. Ahead. No, finish what you were going to say.
I was going to say, like, I used to be someone who got in on those conversations and stuff, but as I've like gotten older, I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. Like, you guys battle it out, and I'll sit here and watch from the seats.
No, I have no interest in arguing with people, for sure. But yeah, I do have interest in Twitter over Instagram here as of late. I feel like I'm sick and fucking tired of Instagram. I'm just like, and Twitter for me, for somebody who I love writing, and like, as far as the podcast world and everything that I like to do in my strengths and stuff, it aligns perfectly with Twitter. And I don't know why. I wish I would have gone all in on Twitter instead of Instagram. That's just me personally, but here we are.
I love Twitter, but I love photos, so I'm an Instagram person.
My problem is I have a lot to say in these captions and stuff, but
with no photo.
I have to do the caption first and then figure out some random photo where it's not completely just me doing something different, and then the caption's completely unrelated, you know?
Yeah. My Twitter though, like I just talk about random shit on there.
I took
my credentials out of my name, because I was like, I don't want people following me thinking I'm going to give them like some nutrition tips.
That's hilarious. That's amazing. That's so good. Well, cool. Awesome. I'll put all of that stuff in the description. I want to say bye off air for like 2 seconds afterwards. But you guys definitely go check out those links. Check out Emily, check out Des B, all the stuff that they do. It's wonderful. Thank you, Emily, for coming on. We'll have to do it again soon. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Give them a 5-star. Or else.
Yeah, or else. Okay, see you guys. And that is that, my friends. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the More Than Fitness podcast. And please, if you could help me out a little bit here and leave a rate and review in iTunes, and also take a screenshot and post it up on your IG story. Tag me at MattMcLeod6. I'd love to share it. I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to hear your feedback about the podcast, and also so that we can share the word with other people. I would love to build up this community, build up this tribe of people that we have like you and I, and get the word out there. Also, if you want more free content, you can check the links in the description. I have my free 4-week workout plan, The Ultimate Physique Development. And also, if you want to work with me online, one-on-one for personal coaching, you can check the link in the description as well. And anything else you need, please send me an email, send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. Again, thank you so much for listening.